You're listening to That's the Tea with Alessandra G. It's the best kind of gossip on demand every week. Girl talk, no filter. Here's your sis, Alessandra G.
Welcome back to That's the Tea with Alessandra G. I cannot believe that it's already November and Mariah Carey is defrosting at the moment. The fall is coming to an end. It's going by way too quick. And don't get me wrong, I love the holiday season just as much as the next person, but I live in the tri-state area, specifically New Jersey, and I am not looking forward to these freezing cold temperatures that are approaching and snow and everything that comes with winter. But hey, I'm always talking about the weather. This isn't a negative podcast. I'm actually going to Miami soon, so I will be exiting these cold temperatures and heading to where I belong in the warmth. But anyway, let's get to the music, the positive stuff, that one thing that keeps me going and so many other people around the world, sound. And today we have a very special segment of Friday Features with a super cool artist. But before we get into that, this episode is kindly sponsored by DistroKid. For anyone who works on music in any capacity, DistroKid is the music distribution service you've been looking for. Their service will put your music on streaming platforms like Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, you name it. They'll also help you get verified artist pages on those streaming platforms, and they even have tools you can utilize to reach a larger audience. And the best part is, DistroKid does not take a cut of your earnings that come from streaming. That's right, all of the money that you make from your music goes straight to you and they don't take a cut. All you have to do is pay an affordable annual membership fee, and you can even use my discount code for 7% off your first year's membership. Just type in distrokid.com/VIP/alwaysalessandra or click the link on my link tree, which is all over social media, and you'll get the discount. Now let's get back to today's segment with this amazing artist that I cannot wait to introduce you to, although you probably have already heard his music. But if you haven't yet, you're in luck. His name is Platinum, and he just dropped a brand new EP today, and it's called An Honest Account of the More Unsavory Aspects of My Being. And if that title doesn't make you want to stream it, I don't know what will. I'm obsessed with the title. I love the project. We're chatting about all of that, plus who you would like to collaborate with next and what else fans can look forward to coming really soon. This is an exclusive segment of Friday Features.
Welcome to Friday Features. Get to know your favorite artists, influencers, and musicians exclusively on That's the Tea with Alessandra G.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
How you doing?
I'm good. How's your week been going?
Well, it's 70 and change in New York City at the moment, so I'm just enjoying the warm weather and staying sane for the last few weeks of sunshine that we have.
Okay, yeah, you could say that again, because I'm in New Jersey and this weather, it's all over the place. But I know you have so much going on right now. You released a single just a few weeks ago, Stress Me Out, which the fans and listeners all around the world are absolutely loving. So tell me a little bit about that single and the feedback you've been receiving since it pretty much just came out very recently.
Sure, yeah. I'm going to take the angle of sort of where the song fits into the broader EP. A compelling way to sort of describe that song is to describe its place in the larger project. The project is called An Honest Account of the More Unsavory Aspects of My Being. And basically, it's 7 tracks. And each track basically aims to amplify a trait about myself that might be conventionally perceived as negative. So it would stress me out. I think in the entertainment industry, it can be easy to get wrapped up in ego and, you know, confidence can turn very quickly into narcissism. And there's a lot that goes on in your brain when you're sort of an artist. And with that song, I was like, okay, I've struggled with this for a few years. Let me just basically make the most over the top, you know, maximal God complex ego trip song that I can conceivably make. And hopefully it makes the fans feel confident and they're able to step into this this mindset.
I like that a lot. And that EP title is pretty crazy. So yeah, I don't know why that reminds me of like a title the 1975 would use. They just have like the wackiest album titles. Yeah. And it reminds me of that. So how exactly did you come up with that? Because I love titles that are like absolutely insane. And that just rang my bell. So tell me about that.
Well, you're on the nose with it because that was the core reference. I remember when that 1975 record came out and I read the title on streaming services and I went, you can do that? I was sort of beside myself. I was like, how many words is that? Did they allow that? I think ever since that moment, I've been looking for the opportunity conceptually to do an over-the-top maximal title. And this project sort of felt like the right moment to introduce that format to my discography.
Yeah, I love that. And you're right. That was the first time I did see it. And I was kind of like, wait, what? It took me like such a long time to even remember the name of it. Okay, so the EP, 7 songs. Are any of the songs besides Stress Me Out on there, are they previously released or will the other 6 be new songs?
Everything is brand new. Yeah, so 6 more new ones. And this is sort of a new format for me because I guess when I was building my career from the beginning, I was very much a singles-oriented artist. And in the last year and a half or so, I've switched my focus to longer form projects. And the connection I've had with my fans with these longer form expressions has been second to none. It's a completely different feeling than a single, I find.
Definitely a whole different feel with the project compared to a single. And it's just something the fans can take in, which I don't know. I feel like they love. I personally do love projects because with the singles, don't get me wrong, you love them, but it always just makes you want more. I know last year you released an EP, Hellbound, which was 4 songs. How does this EP kind of differ from that one? I know it's a little bit longer, but is the vibe completely different? What can they expect?
There are elements of Hellbound in this project. I think Hellbound was me leaning into the darker side of what I do and sort of the more spooky and cinematic production. This project has elements of that, but it's also a bit more soundscapey. It draws from different genres, some pop, some hyperpop, some hip hop. You know, for me, it's just about, I produce and write everything myself. So I have a 2-bed in the city and my 2nd bedroom is a recording studio. So basically I sit in there and torture myself until I arrive at a collection of songs that I want to release. And I think with Hellbound, it was about a 1-month period of time where I was just really into that dark and spooky sound. And with this project, I started, I think it was 3 or 4 months of creation. And I was obsessed with really like ambient sounds originally, but those sounds then turned into a very maximal and sort of pop project. So for me, I just, you know, take a month or two for this project, this longer project, it was 3 or 4 months. And I just try to pick the 5 or 6 best things that I could offer my fans that all make sense together.
So what I'm getting from that is you had to kind of dwindle down a long list of songs and pick 7. So could fans hear the songs that didn't make it onto this project on a future project? Or do you keep a lot of those songs like in the vault and no one ever hears them?
I end up releasing everything. Like track 3 on Hellbound is a song called Coffin, which is just blowing up right now on social. That song has existed for 3.5 years. I got through half of it and I was like, oh, this is a cool idea. You know, I'll leave this in the session folder. And then one day inspiration struck and I was just able to finish it. And it became the most popular record on that project. So I don't know. I feel like everything will eventually have a home.
That's good because I know so many artists are like, yeah, I have like 100 songs that probably will never see the light of day. And fans are like, wait, no, like I want them. Like, let's hear them. And I know you touched on socials a little bit. Your music definitely pops off on social media. And obviously that's only gotten crazier with TikTok and, you know, everything that's come with that application and platform. So what has it been like to see your music take off on social media and kind of develop a fan base that has come from social media strictly in the past few years?
What's fascinating is I'll release a record, you know, my core fan base will stream it. And then 7 months later, some sub community or like niche group on the internet will really like the song and that'll blow it up. So with Champagne and Sunshine, which is my biggest record to date, that record, it did well at first for the first 1.5 years, but it was just sort of one of my songs. And then, you know, a bunch of, at the time, people on Musical.ly started making videos to it. And, you know, it was influencers, it was more traditional. And over the years, that song has just grown. But now with Coffin, that song for the first year was just sort of a track 3 on a project. And the anime music video community on YouTube started making edits, like 500 to 1,000 edits a day. They would take their favorite animes and they would do cinematic edits using Coffin. And now that song is the second biggest in my catalog. So what's really cool for me is to take a step back and just look at all the cool ways that my music is used on the internet and all the communities that take to it. That's really fulfilling for me, and it's really compelling to watch.
That's crazy. I had no idea that the anime community was the reason that Coffin took off. You know, the more you know, that's insane and so cool. That's awesome. I just love hearing those stories. And I know you brought up Champagne and Sunshine, which obviously we had to talk about. Over 125 million streams on Spotify alone, which is absolutely insane. I always like to think of it as like put that many people in a room. And in this case, they're not fitting in any room. So I don't know. That is absolutely crazy to me. So cool. How does it feel having a song that is that popular on not only Spotify, but obviously social media and other platforms, and just knowing how many people really love and resonate with that track?
I think it's important as an artist, particularly with streaming services, not to lose sight of the fact that those streams are real people. Because ultimately, I think it's easy to look at the numbers and just watch them go up and not attach any emotional value to that. But, you know, when you take a step back, like you said, and you say, oh my God, 130 million streams on a song that I made when I was 19 in my living room. Like, that's a really emotionally dense experience for me. Like, I think of everyone who has enjoyed that song. The song was actually just featured with the cast of an Amazon show. And they were talking about how it was, you know, their favorite record when they were at their lake house. And it's just, once you start thinking about all the individual stories of everyone who likes the song, it becomes very overwhelming. And I try not to lose that. You know, I try not to just be a robot that looks at streams as numbers. Like, I try to think of all of the people that are genuinely enjoying my music.
Yeah, that's a great way to think about it, because I don't know how I would take that. You just look at it and it's like, okay, those are numbers. But I guess the good thing is not detaching yourself from those private messages and comments and, you know, the memories that people make to that music. That's got to help for sure and just be such a good feeling. I know you have released so many songs that have touched so many different people and reached millions and millions of people. What song do you think has resonated with fans the most in like a personal way that you've released so far? Not even counting like how many streams, but just what people have told you.
There are two moments I can think of off of the top of my head. There's the Hellbound EP. That was the first project I ever put out. And I just remember on the day of release, everyone was so excited and they were messaging me about how they could just step into this universe that I built on the EP and how it meant a lot to them. And it was this escapist, really interesting project. And that was kind of a cool moment for me that pushed me further in the direction of making more projects. And then also one of my smaller records, Tarantino, which is sort of a darker, more introspective record. I find that song has a really personal connection with fans. It's interesting because, like you said, volume, meaning how many streams a song gets, and sort of fan impact are two completely different metrics. Like, it's hard to, you know, you almost want to think that the bigger songs have more impact on the fans, but that's not always true. There's smaller records that mean more to fans and bigger records that reach more people. But, you know, every song has its own audience and community.
Exactly. So that is really interesting to hear. I have to go listen to Tarantino now. I have not heard that one. So I'm going to definitely listen to that one.
How dare you? How dare you not listen to my whole catalog?
I know. I should have listened to every single song. I'm fake. That's my problem. You know, you go through just, I don't even see that. I'm looking and I don't even see that one. You have too many. That's the problem. Like, they're all so popular. They don't even know where to list them anymore.
You say I have too many songs, but I feel this constant pressure to release more. So it's interesting.
No, you definitely don't have too many. I feel like no artist can have too many. For me, I know I'm always wanting more. Like, some of my favorite artists still have songs that I haven't heard, which is crazy. But, you know, when someone has this catalog of like tons and tons of music, and then you have your favorites, there's some that like slip through the cracks, and then you find them and you're like, oh wow, like, I don't know if I have heard this, but maybe I did and then I forgot about it. So I get the pressure, because for me, even with those like situations, I'm still like, release a new song, and I'm like, wait, there is definitely music I haven't heard. So I don't know, With that being said, with this EP coming out, do you feel good about it? Do you feel like you're going to give fans what they want and finally just share new music with them so the pressure's relieved?
Yeah, I like when I said I torture myself in the studio, I mean it. I sit there and I make as many songs as I can conceivably make, and then I condense them down into the package of songs that I think make sense and are artistically valid. And my fans are in the front of my mind for that whole process, you know? I want to make something that resonates with them. So, you know, after months of boiling down these songs, I feel very strongly that my fan base will not only resonate with these, but be very appreciative of the fact that there's a larger universe to step into instead of singles. So I think this will be a cool moment in my career.
Yeah, for sure. It sounds like it. And going off of that, I know you've collaborated with a bunch of artists, with, you know, your catalog being so large, as we've already talked about. There's a bunch of collaborators that, you know, are on different tracks. And then I'm sure people that aren't even listed that you've worked with behind the scenes. Who's on your list that you're dying to work with next? Is there anyone that you would love to be in a studio with, or like locked in a studio with for 8 hours just working on music?
Black Bear, The Neighborhood, Melanie Martinez. Those are my top three. I just really like the darker stuff right now. I'm really enjoying making cinematic dark records. And I think between Black Bear, The Neighborhood, and Melanie Martinez, you get a really good lay of the land with those kind of records. And, you know, I grew up listening to all three of those artists. So a collab with any of those would be really meaningful to me.
I would love to hear the Black Bear collab. I feel like that would fit perfectly. So many people name him too. When I ask this question, I just feel like, how do you not like the guy and what he's doing? Like, he's just so talented. And I haven't heard Melanie Martinez in a while. I haven't thought about her in a little bit, but she is so talented. I still love that Toxic cover she did from years and years ago. Yeah. That just really popped off. So that would be sick too. And obviously The Neighborhood, they're killer. So that's a really good answer, actually. I didn't expect two out of the three, but the Black Bear one I could 100% see. That's just sick.
Everyone sees the Black Bear one. I've had fans asking for the Black Bear collab since like 2020. So,
My God. Yeah. Well, hopefully they get to hear that soon. And looking into the future, I know this year is almost over, which is crazy. The EP is coming out. What else can fans look forward to? Will there be any visuals coming with this EP for certain songs? Do you have any performances lined up? What else is on the horizon for the rest of this year, or even early next year?
So I'm in a bit of a period of like intense creative work. So I'm actually planned through next year, basically, with projects. I've been so inspired lately. We have a music video for Stress Me Out. And then I'm putting out a slowed and reverbed pack of songs, because everyone likes to use my music in that format on social media. So I just wanted to sort of condense them and make, you know, really dramatic, cool versions for fans to use on social. And then at the beginning of next year, we have the sequel to Hellbound, which is surprisingly, you know, get ready for this, drum roll, titled Hellbound 2. So I'm like,
wow,
20 records in the future right now.
Oh my God. And you're saying you have so much pressure to always release music. You already have so much lined up. They can't ask for anything more. This is more than I've heard from anyone. Usually people are like, yeah, chilling, releasing this, and then we'll see. But you're already set. So, you know, I'm excited to hear the new music, and I'm sure they're going to be pumped to hear that there's a Hellbound sequel on the horizon. And I guess as a last question, you just said you've been so inspired lately that you just keep getting more and more creative, and you're coming up with new projects and stuff. Who has been inspiring you, or what has been inspiring you? Certain artists, bands?
I'll give you sort of two sides to that answer. One, I did a record with Chase Atlantic a little over a year ago, and I really enjoyed working with them, and their sound has been really interesting, and you know, having that back and forth producing that record together with them, I just got to see how they make records, and that was really inspiring to me. So that was sort of a turning point for me. And also, you know, I just love seeing the fan reaction to projects. You know, I feel like it's really meaningful to them when I give them groups of songs, and I just think back to how meaningful projects were to me when I was growing up and you know, getting into music. So I guess the idea of creating larger and larger and more creatively intensive projects is exciting to me, because I can think about what it would feel like as one of my fans to see on release day, oh my God, Platinum released 7 songs. He's never done that before. And then to step into that project. I think there's an immersion component to projects that doesn't exist with singles. So I think the excitement of giving my fans longer and more involved projects will probably carry me through the next years, because I just find it so fun.
That is such an awesome answer. That's so sweet. I'm sure they're going to be really excited to hear that they are inspiring you to keep releasing these projects and putting them together. That's honestly the best answer. The fan reactions are out of control, especially with everything that's been going on social media and how much they've been loving what you've been releasing. So that's all super exciting. They have so much to look forward to. You have a jam-packed, like, I don't even know, next year already, which is crazy. I don't even know what I'm doing tomorrow. But I want to thank you so much for chatting with me and coming on That's the Tea with Alessandra G and talking about everything from your music to dream collaborations and everything you have coming up, because there is so much. And I know there's probably even more on the horizon that you weren't even able to touch on. So fans have a lot to look forward to, and that's the best possible feeling. So thank you again for chatting. This has been great.
Thank you. I really love your show, and I love what you're doing in the podcast space. So thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning into another segment of Friday Features. As always, a huge thank you and shout out to Platinum for joining us today. Go stream his EP. I'm going to tell you guys that name one more time just because I am so obsessed with it. An honest account of the more unsavory aspects of my being. The production is fire. It has beautiful artwork. I'm going to stop ruining it for you. Go listen to it right now. It's amazing. And yeah, that's all I basically have for today. Thanks again for tuning in. Shout out to DistroKid for sponsoring this podcast. And as always, stay safe out there, friends, and wash your damn hands.